With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome, dear listener, to this week's Evo Stick Extra. My name is Ben Hughes, and coming up in this week's show, we'll be previewing this weekend's matches in the league with Whitby Town Radio's very own Andrew Snaith. And we'll be catching up with the MPL Facebook group's very own James Hayes for a review of last weekend's matches. All of that and a little bit more on this week's Evo Stick Extra. Happy New Year! So happy new year to everyone and welcome to this week's Evo Stick Extra. Very shortly we're going to be discussing football with a couple of renegades, namely James Hayes and Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio. But before that, some matters off the pitch now, and people listening at home might have seen pictures, those, well, devastating pictures really of what's happened up at Ramsbottom. And there's been a clean up and loads of fans have got together and helped get the club sort of back on its feet. But there's also been a crowdfunder appeal launched. And for more on this now, we're joined by the secretary at Ramsbottom United. It's Tony Cunningham. Hello, Tony. How are you?
Hello, Ben. I'm fine, thanks.
Real shocking scenes on Boxing Day. I think we've seen clubs like Carlisle United and Gloucester City go through similar, but it didn't look too good. How's things been over Christmas at Ramsbottom?
Well, yeah, I think, Ben, it sort of summed up 2015 as far as we were concerned, because, as you know, we started the year with our management team and players all decamping down to Salford City, which was bad enough, and we're just outside the promotion places, and it finished off with us under 5 foot of water. So I think you could say 2015 is a year that we definitely want to forget.
Some people might think because it's next to the river, it's likely to flood, but it doesn't happen that often, does it, at Ramsbottom?
No, it isn't. I mean, we're very fortunate in this way that it's a lovely setting at Ramsbottom. For everybody who's been there will know about it, you know, and the river is a very attractive sideline, but I think in the 50 years it comes going, we've been at that ground for about 40 years, and I think this is about the fifth time that it's actually come over the top. Under normal circumstances, Ben, the river's about 8 foot below the ground.
Yeah.
So most of the time there isn't a problem. We did have a flooding back in the summer of 2012, which was bad, but this one we had on Boxing Day this last year has been the worst one we've ever had. And it rose at points to 5 foot above the ground, and you can imagine that it's devastated every part of the ground. You're talking about the seats in the stand, you're talking about the dressing rooms, the tea bar, the executive suites, the secretary's office, the changing rooms, and most of all, the generator where we get most of our electric from, of course, was underwater as well. Now, we've just had a quote for redoing that. We're running into thousands of pounds.
Yes.
The problem being, Ben, that because where we are and the fact that all our buildings are classed as portable buildings, we cannot, despite attempting to, get any insurance. And that's the problem that we face when anything like this happens. So you can imagine it's quite devastating for a club the size of Ramsbottom United.
Well, out of the ashes comes a load of fans coming down to help out, and the club galvanising a bit. How's the reaction been from the club and from the wider club as well as the wider non-league family?
This is typical of the camaraderie at non-league level. It's absolutely brilliant. Forget about the Premier League and Football League clubs. You just don't want to know when it comes to clubs like Ramsbottom United. But the non-league fraternity is been absolutely superb. We've had people coming up from Sutton Coldfield. That's a 200-mile round trip to help us out. We've had donations from so many other clubs. We've had 30, 40 people down at the ground helping to tidy up, and what a job it's been to tidy up as well. And I think on behalf of the club, I'd like to thank everybody who's had an input into trying to get us back to normal, because they've no need to. But this is typical of non-league football, isn't it? The people who are involved in non-league football are what I would call genuine football people. And this sort of example just proves it.
And we should say as well, I saw on Twitter, Lancashire Cricket Club came down as well. So it wasn't just non-league, it's everyone pretty much. And
You probably saw the scenes just of the cricket club, and that was like a lake. It was unbelievable. So, yeah, the Lancashire County Cricket Club people have been down to help me the next door, the cricket ground. And that, again, is absolutely brilliant, because If we were left in isolation to try and do all this in ourselves, it gets very demoralising. The fact that you've got so many people there willing to help you, I think, actually boosts you and thinks, well, you know, we've got to get it back to normal. As you probably know, the ground, Ben, that Harry, the chairman, Harry Williams, he's very proud of that ground. There's not many grounds that have hanging baskets and plants around the place, and it's painted every year, and it's always kept spick and span. So you can imagine how Harry must have felt to see the state of his beloved ground looking as it did there.
So,
horrendous.
So moving forward then, how's the pitch looking now and how's the stadium looking now, minus the generators, and stuff?
Right, well, if you was to go on and look at the pitch, it's brilliantly green. It looks lovely.
It's been well watered.
The pitch itself looks absolutely superb, but it does need redrying out. The grounds have had to reline it all and everything again, as you can imagine, because all that has been washed away. The main problem we've got then is the surrounding areas where all the sludge was. That's being cleaned up and tidied up, but we've had to get dehumidifiers in for all the rooms, and we've had to have power washers all over the place. We've literally had to do a proper spring clean. It's more than a spring clean, but we've had to go through the whole of the outside of the pitch to try and get it back to normal. Again, we've had the concrete panels between us and the cricket ground taken down with the flooding.
Right.
You can imagine the pressure that's been under, plus some perimeter wall of the actual pitch itself has been demolished. So we've had all that to do. So whereas the pitch doesn't look too bad, the main problem has been everything else on the ground, which is gradually getting back to normal. We've got people coming now to try and get the generator working again, because obviously without that, we've not got the electricity. So that's our next priority, to get that back up and running. Then we've got to check the floodlights to make sure they're still in working order. So there's still a fair bit to do. And I think our next game is scheduled to be on the 19th of January against Marine at home. I'm just hoping by then we've got the place back in some sort of semblance of order.
And the club is accepting donations as well via crowdfunding.justgiving.com/RamsbottomUnited.
That's the one, and we're very, very grateful to anybody who can do that for us, because, as I say, we can't get insurance. It's down to us to get all this rectified, and any help we can get, however small, is very, very gratefully received.
And you mentioned Marine coming as well. That's potentially going to be quite a big match. It'd be good if the ground could be in some form of readiness for that match, so you can get a big crowd down as well, perhaps.
Well, hopefully, yeah. I think we'll hopefully get quite a few down just to see what's happened with the place. You know, if actually the league, I've got to also say, been very, very supportive. The league have changed that from what was going to be a league fixture into the Dudes and Cup fixture that was cancelled last week.
Right, that's good.
So the one on the 19th will actually be the Dudes and Cup, and we're still to arrange the league game with Marine.
And just a brief mention for on the pitch form. Obviously, Ramsbottom's been, I think, bottom of the table all season pretty much. But Gary Vaughan's come in now, and you're kind of getting the odd win here or there. What's your take on it all?
It's getting better. And as I say, we started last year just outside the playoffs. We finished the season just hanging on to our status at the Premier League, which is where we really want to stay. This season didn't start well, so unfortunately John Robinson decided to hand in his notice as manager. We got Gary Vaughan in October. He's got a task of reshaping the team, getting a new squad together. Very, very difficult. But we chose Gary because Gary knows the scene. He's been around. He's had success at this level. He's brought in a lot of good young players, especially young players, which is nice to see. We've also managed to link in with the Ramsbottom United junior setup, which we've never done before, but we've already signed three players from the junior side, which to me is brilliant because it gives kids who come through the juniors an opportunity to move on into the first team, which is what it should have been like anyway. So he's gradually getting a team together which I feel starts to play some really nice attractive football. And after the trauma of the 2015, we started 2016 with an excellent away win at Starbridge, which, to be honest, we didn't expect, but it was a brilliant start to the season. So I'm hoping that before the end of April, we can get a good run of results together and just scrape out of those bottom four and keep our status in the Premier League.
Well, on behalf of all the listeners, apart from those in the relegation zone already, we wish you all the best of luck in the coming season, but mainly about getting the club back on its feet and onwards and upwards and being prosperous for the future. That's the most important
thing,
really.
Much. Thanks, Ben, and thanks for everybody who's helped us as well. I do appreciate it.
So just to remind you all, for donations to Ramsbottom United to help them get back on their feet, it's crowdfunding.justgiving.com/Ramsbottom United. Tony Cunningham, Secretary at Ramsbottom United, thanks for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra, and all the best for the
Thank
new
you.
Year.
Thanks very much. Cheers.
So joining me now to review last weekend's fixtures, which didn't take place on New Year's Day, but took place on January the 2nd, which was really weird. I didn't like it. It's now time to greet James Hayes, TGOT, from the MPL Facebook group. Hello, James. How are you?
How are you doing, Ben, tonight? And Happy New Year as well to yourself.
Happy New Year to you, and also Happy New Year to you, dear listeners. Quite right. First question. Coming up later, we've got Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio joining us, and he asks a question in the future, because I've already pre-recorded the interview, but it all makes sense to the listener. He asks the question, James, why are you called TGOT?
Once upon a time, I was the PA announcer at Radcliffe Borough. I still am every now and again. And on our forum, obviously you have to have a proper name. So I chose the name of a guy on the Tannoy. Obviously take the first letter and you get TGOT. Originally, it was TGWSP, but that's another story.
Now, you see, dear listener, when I asked James that off air, I was really surprised with how clever that actually is. I was like, oh, that's actually quite clever. But anyway, moving on. And, well, just when you thought the season was getting pretty predictable, well, this past weekend, it's had more twists and turns than the 1980s theme park Camelot's Tower of Terror. It's been superb. Everyone in the bottom won, bizarrely. A great weekend.
It was indeed. I mean, looking at the teams down the bottom end as well, not one of them's now obviously come up away from like the bottom of the form tables as well. So a good little, a nice little shake-up there. Obviously, reading some of the comments on the MPL group today, some of the teams that we were saying to definitely safe are starting to worry now. Mm-hmm. But I still think there's a lot of football to play. But there's still a big, big gap between the bottom four and then the next couple of teams up from there.
Now, normally I'd start from the top. This time I'm going to start from the bottom and work our way up because it was a hell of a weekend for sides in the relegation zone. Ramsbottom United took a trip to Stourbridge. Everyone round the table at the Magnet on last week's MPL show said, nailed on, Stourbridge are going to win. Ramsbottom win by 3-2 in what looked like a mad 15 minutes right at the end.
Indeed so. Well, you've got to give Ramsbottom credit where credit's due there, especially Daniel Wilkins the last 10 minutes to go for it. Ramsbottom, again, coming back from the real start of the season, they're still rock bottom of the table at this moment in time, and they've still got the most of the work to do. But looking at the next few fixtures, they've got the best opportunity there to try and push forward again. A great win against Stourbridge, and I think Stourbridge will be a bit shell-shocked from that result.
Now, also, cliche corner, Stamford don't win at home. Well, that's gone out the window this past weekend. Stamford 2, Hyde United 1, the first home league win of the season for Stamford. Congratulations to everyone at the club. A superb victory there for Stamford.
Yeah, I think out of the games that were getting played, I think that's the one that was a bit more predictable because, again, even Mr. Berkey was a bit worried about what was going on in that game. So.
Well, no, he's become very fatalistic over the last few seasons for obvious reasons. But you can't say it enough what a cracking result that is for Stamford. Yeah,
definitely not. I'd say really well done to them there, especially because, again, I think they've only won 3 home games since moving to the new stadium last year. One of them obviously kept him in the league. So you can't really fault them for what's gone on there. And moving forward, hopefully a bit of a jump forward.
Now, the clubs who are currently third and fourth bottom, they had impossible matches this past week. They had matches against 2 teams, not just in the playoff picture, but also with a one eye on the title as well. And both came out with flying colours. Colwyn Bay, they had a trip to Workington. And Colwyn Bay, in what appears to be a crazy last couple of minutes of the match, come from 1-0 down away at Workington to win by 2-1. A cracking result for Colwyn Bay.
Yeah, like I said, their longest trip of the season as well, by a country mile. There were questions about this game going ahead the night before, which I've never heard of either. So for them to get themselves ready like they had done, again, it's a massive achievement there for Colwyn Bay, for a good result like that. they're getting the wins that they need, and now they're looking up the table again. You've got to be looking at Marine and Skem pushing forward to see what's going on next.
Well, Marine have got a very interesting game this weekend against Mikulova, which we'll cover later with Andrew Snaith. But the last team, speaking of Andrew Snaith, in the relegation zone at the minute, who also had a cracking weekend, was Whitby Town, going to Nantwich Town and winning by 2-1. Firstly, Nantwich only scoring one goal, and secondly, Whitby Town winning and taking all 3 points. Yeah. Incredible.
I mean, Nantwich as well, from the penalty spot, which he's not scored quite a lot of this season either. Most of their goals have been coming from open play. So again, that's the biggest shock of the weekend, I reckon, out of all the results there.
If it couldn't get any better for the teams in the relegation picture, the four teams in the relegation zone at the moment on Saturday, it certainly did get better, because then the teams above them all got beat as well. Marine hosted Halesowen Town, and Halesowen dispatched Marine by 3-0. And Skelmersdale United travelled to Sutton Coldfield Town and got beat by 3-1. So a very, 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 very good weekend for the bottom four in the league, and a bad weekend for the teams who had one eye over the shoulder.
Yeah. I mean, again, you've got the worries coming even more and more now for Mikulova Sports. Mikulova's game getting called off at weekend. You've still got to look at the game just they've got in hand against everyone else. 3 against the bottom sides. And then Marine and Skelmersdale, 6 games more than them. We keep saying it week in, week out. Mikulova, I've been looking over the shoulders now. The bottom four and Mikulova are going to be fighting it out later on in the season.
Okay. I think Andrew Snaith will be happy about that, because he was very pleased with the reaction in the Magnet last week on the MPL show, and because it's just ammunition. So it's good stuff. It's all good stuff. It's all shaping up to be a very exciting run-in this season down the bottom end of the table, and that should be welcomed, I think. Let's go to the top end of the table. Blyth Spartans are currently out in front at the moment. Their game didn't take place on Saturday. Postponed, do you reckon?
Yes, it was. I remember rightly.
Postponed due to, January weather. Nantwich Town are currently in second position. We mentioned their defeat at the weekend. Midweek, though, it got a bit better. They played Salford City and drew 1-1, which is a very good result, considering Salford City are very formidable away from home. And while we're discussing Salford City 7, Barwell 0, at home at Moor Lane. Incredible.
And Moor Lane, they don't like winning games there either, so... to score 7 past Barwell, a massively defensive side, says a lot about Salford's potential for the next couple of weeks.
But then the Nantwich result, though.
Yes. Well, that one there, that apparently for the people who went to the game, all 740, including Alan Alcock, and quoting him here, it's one of the best advertisements the league's had for quite a while. There should have been a lot more goals in that game. And if anything, Nantwich should have got the win, essentially, there. But... Salford just fighting back. That just shows what Salford are capable of doing. Again, they're showing it against a massively defensive side. If anyone's going to challenge, I keep changing my mind on who's going to be challenging Blyth Spartans more and more at this moment in time.
One team who potentially might is Ashton United. Now, Ashton United are at the top of the form guide at the minute. It's greens all over the place. Ashton United 3, Buxton 1 was game of the day on Saturday, and a good result that for Ashton United.
Yes. Again, Buxton as well. Everyone was saying this was going to be game of the day, or prove who was going to be mucking more for to the playoffs. And Ashton United just absolutely battered Buxton off the park. Second part of the season, they're a team to always watch out for. They're always one of them that all, obviously, a couple of seasons ago, always they started well and dropped back, or started poorly and moved forward. A lot different now. And again, second time in 2 years, they find themselves in a title fight. One of the best forms in Europe, again, as you've said.
Oh, he's that back. He's back again. Ashton United, best team in Europe. It's back.
Well, you never know. Obviously, there's some strange results in Europe over the Christmas as well. But Chris Bagley, again, he's getting on the scene, scoring sheets quite a lot now. If I remember looking quickly again at that, I think he is one of the top goal scorers at this moment in time.
Okay. One team who have I was surprised when I looked at the league table and saw this team in ninth position, because they've had a very stop-start season. Rushall Olympic. Now, Rushall Olympic on Saturday went to Frickley and won by 2-0. Cracking result that for Rushall Olympic. Always tricky to go to Frickley. And midweek, they dispatched Barwell by 3-2. Rushall slowly moving up the table.
They are again, and I think Swampy said this very start of the season.
Richard Sneakers. Even if...
There we go. Obviously, I was going to say Rushall as well. Swampy said it early on in the season as well. It's after Christmas, they'll be going again, pushing heavily. Another team that does it every year.
So that was the league matches. That was the results from the NPL Premier Division on Saturday afternoon. We should say a big congratulations to all the groundsmen and volunteers at the clubs for getting these matches on. I do another podcast for the Manchester League, and it's just been completely decimated. And the pitches, particularly Workington, to get a match on at Workington is cracking.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's been some horrendous situations, not just at locally in the Manchester area. We've obviously trying not to say Ramsbottom at this point.
No.
But Cumbria have just had it horrendously up in the north.
Lancashire. Throughout Lancashire as well. And Yorkshire. And Yorkshire too, obviously.
Yeah. In fact, the entire area of the First Division North has just been horrendous last week or two. So for games to be going ahead, it's just amazing for what groundsmen can do. Obviously, midweek fixtures did take a bit of a hit, but again, they're more for County Cups and Dukes and games.
Well, so, hold your horses. It's now time for the Integro Dukes and League Cup Roundup. Second round matches took place this week, and there was a couple of matches which survived the weather. Firstly, Ilkeston 5, Lincoln United 1. A hat-trick there for Jack Blake in that game. Congratulations to Ilkeston. Lincoln United have proved quite tricky in various cup competitions this season, so that could have Ilkeston could have come unstuck there, but dispatching them quite comfortably in the end.
Ilkeston, fantastic result there, especially with Lincoln at the moment in that massive fight in the Division 1 South, where yep, anyone can get the playoffs yet.
Ilkeston v Lincoln United, that was a second round match. A first round match took place on Tuesday evening, where Lancaster City got beat by 1-0 at home to Bamber Bridge. A good result that for Bamber Bridge, and Bamber Bridge go through. And that concludes this week's Integro Dudeson Cup Roundup. So I hope you all enjoyed that at home. James?
Hello.
Just to mention as well that Skelmersdale v AFC Fylde was postponed. They go again on Monday, is that correct? I think it's Monday.
Yes, Monday at Skelmersdale's ground. If he gets called off then, it goes back to Fylde afterwards.
Right.
If it goes back to Fylde, I think it's a bit unfair if it does go back to Fylde.
So it's the match that never starts, let alone never ends. And hopefully Skelmersdale can get that match on Monday and can win. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Indeed. So, obviously, Skelmersdale getting through as well. They've got another tough task. So, potential there for Skelmersdale, not to emulate what they've done in the FA Cup the last couple of seasons. And in the trophy, I mean, again, it'd be nice to have someone from our division going to Wembley.
Absolutely. So that concludes this week's review of fixtures and a bit of a dabble there with cup competitions as well. James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group. How can people get in touch with you on the MPL Facebook group and debate and discuss footballs and things?
Facebook.com/groups/the MPL or on Twitter at the MPL group.
Well, James Hayes, happy new year to you and welcome back. Let's get a good run going here, and we're here now till May. 5 months. It's only 5 more months, then we can have the summer off, mate.
Well, some of us do.
James Hayes, thanks for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra.
Well, thank you, Ben.
But enough about James Hayes and the past. It's now time to draw our eyes to the future. And drawing eyes with a tinge, with a glint of optimism in his own retinas, it's now time to join Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio. Hello, Andy. How are you?
Hiya, Ben. I'm not too bad, mate. The future's bright. The future's orange.
Exactly. Firstly, I think pretty much everyone, apart from the host of last week's podcast, said that Whitby Town were going to get beat against Nantwich. What a game and what a result.
Absolutely, yeah. Obviously, I was listening in to the December podcast of the MPL show, and everybody around the table, pretty much. I think there was maybe a couple that went against, but everyone was saying, "I think the bottom four will probably stay as they are." And everybody in the bottom four won, which I don't think any of us would have predicted. First away win in the league for Ramsbottom and for Whitby. At Nantwich as well, second place side there. Colwyn Bay went to Workington and won. Stanford had a great victory over Hyde as well. So I don't think anybody would have predicted some of those scorelines, including Whitby fans. An amazing weekend.
Obviously, it could be New Year blip, but hopefully it's going to open up the relegation battle well and truly, and we can get some kind of excitement. And then right at the last day of the season, it's revealed that no one's going to get relegated from because of some AGM Cup thing. But at least we've all had a good time. That's the important thing.
That's it.
So, fixtures this coming weekend. I was looking through the list earlier for Game of the Day, and I'm going to suggest that actually Game of the Day is this one here. Colwyn Bay against Whitby Town. I'm going to start with yourselves. It's a proper six-pointer, this one, isn't it?
Yeah, to say the least. The five is in the post. Yeah, Whitby are making the trip over to Wales for, as you say, a big six-pointer at the bottom end of the table, fourth bottom, travelling to third bottom. And as I mentioned there, the two sides that won at the weekend away from home, Colwyn Bay with a terrific last-gasp win at Workington. Two goals in 3 minutes to turn that match on its head. From them, I mean, they've been gone ever so long without any sort of return. A change of management, it didn't look like it had paid dividends, but I'm sure, just like Whitby with their win at Nantwich on Saturday, that confidence will be up there, and a hell of a long trip for Whitby, setting off at 8 a.m. I can tell you that.
Wow.
It's quite the trek, let's put it that way, quite the trek.
So there'll be full commentary on that, and we'll plug that right towards the end, just in case you wake up on Saturday morning and think to yourselves, nah, there will be commentary, won't there, Andy? But we'll cover that off in a second or two.
Yes.
Up at the top end of the table, Blyth Spartans, Salford City have had a bit of a, how could I put it, 4 points from six isn't bad, but it's not 6 points from six, crucially. Blyth Spartans are still out in front. This weekend, though, they've got a very tricky game. They're away at Hales Owen Town. Rob Lloyd's been in touch with his comments from Hales Owen. A tough home encounter for the Yelts with Blyth, the visitors. If we play like we did at Marine and the second half against Sutton, we'll do okay. If we play like we did first half against Sutton, we'll get battered. Oh, no. I guess it depends which Yelts team turns up. Special mention, though, to manager John Hill, who'll be in charge for his 150th Hales Owen League match. So congratulations to you, John, as well. And Lucas Martins, from a Blyth perspective, hopefully an away win at Hales Owen to create momentum, because we've got a very difficult month ahead of us. It's now serious now, isn't it? Because we've left Christmas now. It's the home straight. Have Blyth got enough to keep this going?
That's a great question. If they can keep the key players fit, I think they can. The likes of Messrs Maguire and Dale. And I think the squad is just a little bit stronger this season. Tom Wade's put together a terrific side. They're strong at the back as well as having that forward line. They always seem to have that quality going forward, but they've now got the steel at the back too. I went on about Whitby's long trip over to Colwyn Bay. I'm sure Blyth will be doing a few more miles all the way down to the West Midlands for Hillsong, and no doubt backed by a good travelling support too. Hillsong, I'm just not quite sure where their season's going. They've played a lot of games, and it's hard to tell, isn't it?
That was going to be my next question. In fact, it's going to be, in the early part of the season, we had Frickley Watch. In fact, we had Skem before that. Then it was Frickley Watch, because they were doing so well, and no one expected it. Now, in January, February, I feel it should be, where's Hillsong going to end up? Because they played nearly five or six games more than anyone else around them. It's going to be interesting when everyone catches up with where Hales Owen actually fit in with the league table.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it is tight as well, as always the case, it seems, in the MPL Premier. You've got Hales Owen in eighth spot, 39 points, all the way down to 17th from Grantham, 31. So there's only 8 points between all those positions. As we mentioned, they played a lot of games as well. Those sides below them all have games in hand on them. So there's Hills on watch. I think they're too strong and well organised to get pulled into anything to worry about in the bottom half of the table. I think Bowell's an interesting one. I'm sure we'll go on and talk about them a little bit later. Yes, we'll touch on them later.
In second position currently is Nantwich Town, and Nantwich have had a bit of an iffy week. No disrespect, but everyone thought that they were going to beat Whitby, and really they needed to keep the winning momentum.
So did I.
They needed to keep the momentum up. They're looking to bounce back, I'd suggest, against Rushall Olympic. There's easier places to go to bounce back, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely right. Nantwich, obviously, I saw them firsthand on Saturday. We've seen them twice now. Whitby have done well to take 4 points off them somehow. They always create chances going forward. They pretty much pushed Whitby back into their own box for the entire second half at the weekend. They've got Matty Cossilo, and he gets to the edge of the box, gets down that left-hand side, and he just puts cross after cross on a plate. And goodness knows how they didn't take a few more chances. I mean, they showed again in midweek, drawing with Salford City, that Nantwich are there for a reason. They're still a good side. They still played a few more games, but they're still going to be a threat, and they're still going to have a part to play in that promotion shake-up. They're a very good attacking side, and they just need to take some of those chances that they create, because they are a terrific team. And speaking to some of the media guys as well involved with Nantwich at the weekend, I think they were just delighted to have such a turnaround from last season.
Yes.
They were saying when Whitby went to Nantwich, second last away game of the season, both teams could have theoretically gone down.
You mentioned Nantwich Town drawing with Salford City. That's actually a good result, that, because Salford City are very dangerous away from home. Salford City this weekend, though, where are they going? They're hosting Skelmersdale United. Now, cliche corner, Salford City aren't very good at Moor Lane. Tell that to Barwell.
Absolutely, yeah. Seventh heaven, etc. Cliche. But yes, I'm hoping Salford might do us a favour or two. Two terrific footballing sides actually meeting in that game. I know Skelmersdale are struggling a little bit of late, but they've got games in hand. I don't think they have too much reason to worry. They might just be having a concerned eye at their away record, though. Just one win on no travels away from home, and that's the same as Whitby, so they should be worried.
Ashton United, I know they said Workington then, that goes to show you what's happened in the last week. Ashton United this weekend, they're travelling to Workington, perhaps game of the day up at the top end of the table. Ashton United are on fire at the moment. Workington had a little bit of a blip, but they're well and truly in this race as well. This is going to be an epic struggle, I'm going to suggest, this match. Fierce.
Absolutely. Yeah, indeed. Fifth versus fourth. Long trip over to Cumbria. I mean, even from Lancashire, it's still a long trip over to Workington. It's nowhere near anywhere, but that's fact. But it's, and it's a place where Workington tend to do well as well. They've only had two defeats at home this season, so they've got a good record at Borough Park. And with just 1 point separate, albeit with Ashton having a terrific goal difference, much better than the Workington, who have obviously just been fighting their way through games. You know, they've been winning some close encounters rather than battering any teams. Quite similar records, actually. Workington's home record against Ashton's away record. Both have only lost twice. So could be a close one, Ben.
This weekend, we're going to mention Darlington now. It's a bit hard for Darlington at the moment because they're so stop-start with matches and that kind of thing. It's difficult for them to get any form of momentum, but they're in this title race as well, I'm going to suggest. And they're playing Matlock Town this weekend, which could be tricky for Darlow.
Yeah, indeed. Matlock aside, capable of pulling off some terrific results. We saw with the FA Trophy run. Darlington, yeah, they've been struggling to get those games in at Heritage Park. They share it with Bishop Auckland of the Northern League. And even though it's a recently built stadium, relatively so, always had a few problems with drainage and different matters there. So, and knowing firsthand the rain that we've had in the northeast, I would certainly check the schedules, online before you venture out to that one. But it should be a terrific game. And Darlington, you would think, Would come out on top, but we will see.
Currently in seventh position is Buxton. We mentioned last week that they were on top of the form guide with Ashton United. However, the two met last weekend and something had to give. And unfortunately, it was for Buxton supporters, it was Buxton. They got beat. And Mark Joyce poetically has put it like this. After Saturday's disaster at Ashton, which I partly blame an Alex McKenna for voodooing us for turning up for a rare appearance to film the Bucks, Frickley awaits another ground where we don't have a very good record at, but you never know in football what the gods give you. Like to at least see a Saturday League away win this season. And then he goes on to mention the footballs, which I think everyone's come to expect. But anyway, Frickley against Buxton this weekend, a good chance for Buxton to bounce back, or is it?
Yeah, indeed. Obligatory football reference from Joycey. We've played Frickley. I said the Royal We Whitby have played Frickley recently. Very, very good side. And I apologise to Frickley fans for sounding so surprised and patronising by saying that. I didn't mean it in that way. But they've got some really, really good players there. I'll pick out the forward line. And in particular, Jacob Hazel, Grant Ryan alongside him. They've got a really, really good understanding, those two. Hazel with his movement, I mean, he could have had a hat-trick in a matter of minutes in the game at Whitby a few weeks back. Really, really good side. Yeah, really impressed by Frickley this season. Good shout for a top-half finish, I think. Buxton also, great footballing team. Occasionally, I think that might just be Joyce's view, but tend to do okay on no travels rather than at home, but that might just be his own view there. But got some good attacking players, including Niall Doran, who we know at Whitby, and he's a really, really talented, skillful player on the ball. And of course, they're always going to score goals with the likes of Liam Hardy leading the line. Got plenty of firepower.
Let's turn the table a bit on its head now, and let's head towards the bottom end of the table. This weekend, Ramsbottom United are travelling to Grantham. Grantham, of course, have pointed the way to teams in the bottom four that there is a way out of this if you put a decent run together. Ramsbottom with a cracking victory against Stourbridge over the weekend. What do you make of Ramsbottom's chances at the moment?
Well, on paper, you would think they wouldn't have much of one, but again, they're a decent team, and I don't know why they've gone on such a poor run of late. I actually thought they'd turning things around before now. As you say, excellent result for them at Stourbridge at the weekend, and fair play to them for that. Grantham, also seen them recently. Good footballing team, decent side. Playing plenty of proper football. No kick and rush stuff. It'll be a tough one though for Ramsbottom. Grantham recently beat Salford City at home, so they were the team to end Salford's marathon away run. So you would think it would be a tough place to go over to the Mears.
Now you mentioned run of form there for Salford, and obviously Stamford have had a very notorious run of home form at their new stadium. That came to an end on Saturday, certainly with a home win against Hyde United. And this weekend, well, they're playing Stourbridge. And Stourbridge, they've got to be looking to bounce back after that shock defeat to Ramsbottom, haven't they? Or can Stamford keep it going?
Well, you never know. Yeah, as you alluded to, first home win of the season for Stamford, the new stadium. Stourbridge, you know, you think once bitten, twice shy. They're surely not going to let another side in the bottom two humiliate them at the weekend. But we will see. Yeah, Stamford, just like Ramsbottom, Whitby, Colwyn Bay, and perhaps the sides just above them are scrapping for their lives. And when it's the stakes are that high, you just never know what might happen.
Now, we mentioned Skelmersdale. You think Skelmersdale are going to be okay because of the games in hand they've got?
Well, I thought so. I mean, I'm not too clued up with the exact state of affairs at Skelmersdale, whether they've had to cut their budget later on in this season or later on this season. I'm not sure. I don't know. I mean, we always talk about Skelmersdale starting really strongly and then tailing off. And I think you asked a question, didn't you, on the podcast, whether it's going to be the other way around, and nobody agreed. So we will see.
I thought that was a cracking thing. That should be like some kind of Sherlock or Endeavour storyline, where Skem turn it around and do the complete opposite of what they normally would do. I mentioned Skem. Marine was going to be my next protocol. EO Brown's been in touch to say, Marina at home to Mikulova. I'd probably settle for a draw, if only for the fact that would mean Mikulova would only get a point as well. However, I fear another early goal against us and Mikulova going on to win without much problem. This is actually a must win for Mikulova, I'm going to suggest, against Marine.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Mikulova are in much more trouble than those sides around them. Having seen both of the teams, Mikulova were pretty poor when I saw them a couple of times in the matter of 2 weeks, albeit one of them actually beating my team. But yeah, it's just the sheer amount of games they've played. I mean, Marine have 7 games in hand on them. Skelmersdale 6 games in hand on them. So that little 5-point advantage for Mikulova is going to be eroded eventually. So yeah, it is a big game. And I think, as you suggested, a bigger game for Mikulova than for Marine.
Now, we'll just mop up a couple of the fixtures which are a bit mid-table-ish at the moment. Bowell, should we go to Bowell now? You wanted to go to them earlier on. Should we go to Bowell now? They're hosting Ilkeston this weekend. Bowell have had a very iffy week this week, it's got to be said.
Yeah, 3 defeats on the trot. They were pegged back right at the very end in midweek at home to Rushall Olympic. And they'll be just having a little look over the shoulders, perhaps. There is always a team from the sort of drop from nowhere, and just to sort of go on to Ilkeston, even though they're in 11th spot, I think they'll still be looking upwards at the promotion picture because it is so close. I think there's 4 teams on the same amount of points there, with Rushall, Stourbridge, Ilson, and Sutton Coldfield, and also Ilkeston have a few games in hand as well, as do Stourbridge. So it'll be particularly important for perhaps differing reasons for these sides.
And lastly, on Saturday, it seems to be like a tradition now that I leave the best to the last. Sutton Coldfield Town against Hyde United. And Sutton Coldfield, they've had a very good couple of games now.
Yeah, well, they're a decent side. And they've got a reasonably enough home record on that, the artificial surface down there. And it's always interesting to see how teams play on that surface, because it's a different sort of test. I guess you almost find out who are the proper footballing teams, because there's not really anything to disparage the pitch. There's no little divots or anything. It should be pristine. Of course, they've got the advantage of playing on every other week. I would back Sutton Coldfield to do okay there, and I think again it's two teams that, although they're only separated by a few places, are looking in opposite directions. Hyde maybe just keeping an eye on being drawn into any sort of struggle at the wrong end. I don't think there will be. They've probably got too many goals in them. But Sutton Coldfield looking upwards, games in hand, and looking to have a surprise promotion push. What's one of the questions you ventured again on the podcast? Who's been the surprise package of the season? A few have mentioned Nantwich. But Sutton Coldfield, a newly promoted team, and doing terrifically well.
Absolutely. There's a one midweek game as well, Tuesday, Ashton United against Ramsbottom United, in a match which is not a derby, Andrew Snaith. Despite the fact that they're close to each other on Google Maps, it takes ages to get from Ashton to Ramsbottom, just to say. And a big good luck as well to Skelmersdale United, more than anything, to get the match on in the first round of the FA Trophy. That's taking place on Monday, Skelmersdale against AFC Fylde.
Yeah, absolutely. Best of luck to Skelmersdale in that one against the former Evo Stick League side in AFC Fylde. I did actually think of your derby analogy, actually, Ben, when we had the Nantwich Salford game. Somebody did ask on the group, is this a derby?
No.
For those of us in the North East Wilds, you sort of think, oh, it's not that far away. But having driven to Nantwich, no, they're nowhere near each other.
I think it takes about over an hour and a half. An hour and 10 minutes to get from town, from Manchester to Nantwich. It's quite a long way.
Yeah, but see, for us, that's a derby, though. That's just getting past the Whitby. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Cheshire, it's a different planet altogether.
Yeah, absolutely. It's far too posh. Anyway, Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio, you'll be going to the match on Saturday to cover it for Whitby Town Radio. How can people tune in? Because that's going to be, we mentioned it as game of the day. It probably is. How could people tune in?
Indeed, a boom, bang, a bang affair. Mm-hmm. Whitby in Europe this weekend, over in Wales, Colwyn Bay, whitby-town.com. Follow the links from there up in the corner of the screen, and we'll be live from 3 o'clock, myself, Gruff Jones and Marie Chapler at that one.
Good luck getting through customs as well, Andy, with the radio gear. Anyway, Andrew Snave from Whitby Town Radio, thanks for joining us this week on Evo Stick Extra. Much appreciated.
Thanks, Ben. It's been a pleasure.
And now for your correspondence. Ryan James Bedard has been in touch to say Ossett Town versus Warrington this weekend, and Ryan isn't taking anything for granted, especially after the trophy game with them earlier in the season, but he's hoping for a Warrington win. I hope you both win, Ryan. Liam Curry's been in touch to say Spennymoor are away to Prescott Cables. You might not call it difficult, but we exchanged 2-0 draws between each other, both at the Brewery Fields and at Hope Street last season. After a good win at Burscoe last week, I have to expect another win really, but we still have a game before that, away to Easington Colliery in the Durham Challenge Cup second round tomorrow night, weather permitting. Oh, you emailed that in the past. I'll find out what the score was in a second. I'll let you know what the score was just in a second, but I'm sure you know what the score was, Liam, but just to keep the listener engaged. Jonathan Wood, Scarborough are at home to Bamber Bridge and we need points by hook or by crook. Hopefully a win, but I'd take even a draw just to get the 22 point monkey off our back. And lastly but not leastly, Alex McKenna has been in touch to say I voodoo everything. Well, good for you, McKenna. And in closing, just to give you that final scoreline from the Durham Senior Cup second round match between Easington Colliery and Spennymoor Town, it finished Easington Colliery P, Spennymoor Town P. And that concludes this week's Wall of Correspondence. Tune in next week for another wall filled with your beautiful correspondence. Back over to you, Ben. Well, that's it for this week's Evo Stick Extra. We'll be back next week, of course, with another episode of this future award-winning podcast. Remember, you can follow the show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. And you can get involved with all the discussion and chatter and banter and all that kind of thing on the old internet by going to facebook.com/groups/the NPL. But that's it from me for this week's show. A huge thanks to all my guests for joining me, and thank you, dear listener, for joining me as well. I've been Ben Hughes, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick NPL side, make sure that you have fun. Goodbye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the Evo Stick range, you may need a bigger van. Evo Stick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.